This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
This reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, when I was younger and considerably more foolish, if that were possible, than I am today, I went to Waverley Cemetery at night. I was with Catherine, to whom I married, and another couple called Tim and Ali, call out to Tim and Ali if you're watching, who were also dating at the time. I guess we might have thought this was sort of romantic or fun, a little bit scary. I'm not sure whose idea it was or why in particular we went or what we thought we might find there. But I do remember it was a still and quiet night with a bright moon adding a faint gleam to the headstones. It's a marvellous place, Waverley Cemetery, if you've ever been, a real gem in Sydney. But we did come across one family vault. You know how there are big family vaults there in Waverley Cemetery? And this family vault had its door open. Now, Tim is a braver and taller man than me, so he went over to the open door and leaned in and said, "Hello?" And to this day, I'm not sure what answer he was expecting. But just for a second, the hair on the back of my neck stood up as I waited to see if someone would say hello back or invite him in. But if there was anyone in that tomb, they were not in a position to respond. Amongst the dead, you only expect to find the dead. When you come to the graveyard, you don't come for a conversation. What else are you expecting? And this is perhaps why we don't visit cemeteries very much. We prefer not to be confronted with the brute fact of death. In a previous era, they built their cemeteries around churches where you'd see them every week. But not now. We don't like that reminder of death to be present. Not just the deaths of those we love, but our own death. They say it is psychologically healthy to be reminded of your own mortality, but we do not want to do it. It is a tough medicine to take, a bitter pill to swallow. It seems almost unbearable, though it may be good for us. Each headstone we pass is another person with pleasures and pains and fears and dreams, just like ours. And yet each life's journey has come to its conclusion, placed in the solid ground or reduced, as is more likely today, to ashes. One day, that will be you. As a funeral director, and funeral directors have a kind of wisdom, once said to me, when I said to him, business has been a bit slow, he said, don't worry, everyone's a client. The existentialist philosophers of the 20th century pretty much said the same thing. They urged us to face the hard reality of death. I'm thinking Martin Heidegger, Jean-Paul Sartre, and Albert Camus. Albert Camus wrote once, there is but one freedom, to put oneself right with death. After that, everything is possible. And that's a grand appeal, something admirable about it. But mostly, as a culture, we don't take that advice. We shut death out and refuse to acknowledge that it is there. After all, how could we put ourselves right with death, as Camus suggests? Instead, the frenetic activity of this life is an attempt to blank out the dread thought that we are mortal. We travel because we are running from that moment when we will be finally still. We accumulate things as a kind of antidote to impermanence. We talk about making a difference as if anything we do really matters in the long run. And as the French thinker Philippe Ariès wrote, technically, we admit, we in the West, we admit that we might die. We take out insurance on our lives to protect our families from poverty, but really at heart, we feel we are non-mortals. The angel's question at the tomb might well be pointed at you and me this morning. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Why do you seek eternity where it cannot be found? Why do you seek the life to come from those things which will clearly melt away? Our yearning for immortality cannot be fulfilled by the things that are destined to fade and rot, to crumble away. We flourish for a time. We may kid ourselves that we are like the gods of heaven itself. But we decay and fall. Our relentless pursuit of pleasure, possessions, and significance is a vain attempt to shut out the nagging thought that we will one day die. Consider then your mortality. Well, this much is the counsel of the existentialists and the psychologists, but it's not new. It's only an echo of the ancient teaching of the philosophers called the Stoics, who summed their thoughts up in the Latin phrase, memento mori, remember that you die. The emperor philosopher Marcus Aurelius, who also starred in Gladiator alongside, Russell Crowe, reminds us, he wrote this, he said, consider how ephemeral and mean all mortal things are. At a Roman military triumph, after a great military victory, they put on a parade through the streets of Rome with the winning general in a chariot and all his armies following and all his conquered victims following him too, in slavery, with the crowds cheering him on, giving him adulation, so that he might think of himself just for a moment as immortal, as he travelled along in his chariot, was a slave whose job it was to whisper into his ear, remember, Caesar, that you are mortal. But is that all? Remember that you are but dust? Is that all we have to look forward to? There is indeed, in Easter, so much more. The question of the angel at the tomb that first Easter was not pointed. It was playful. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Now, no one expects an ironic angel. We think of them as serious creatures, but indeed, this angel is playful with the playfulness of the joy of heaven itself. And he is teasing the grief-stricken women, which might come across as mean if he didn't have such extraordinary news to share with them. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Of course, the women had come to seek the dead, to look for the dead, to dress the dead body with spices, as you and I might go to a tomb to lay flowers on it. They had not come looking for the living at all. They did not come in hope, but in resignation. They had been there at the cross. They had seen Jesus killed. They had come to the tomb heavy-hearted, expecting to encounter what we would all expect to encounter at a cemetery, the dead. But the angel says to them, "The one you thought was dead is living. He is not here. He is risen. If you are looking for Jesus, do not look in his tomb. The tomb has been made redundant." The expectations of the women and the other disciples with them had been far too low. They thought the cross was the end, a sign of Jesus' defeat and his irrelevance, that he would carry on only in the next generation in their hearts as they remembered him perhaps. They thought nothing could pass through the permanence of death. But they were happily wrong. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you seek Jesus where the dead lie? For he is very much alive. He was restored to his friends. He ate and drank with them. They saw him and touched him and heard him as he taught them. They saw him return to heaven, where they continued to proclaim that he now reigns on high. He is active, alive, very much restored to life. And the empty tomb is not just a curious fact of history. It was the beginning of a new epoch. Jesus was, as Paul would later put it, the firstborn from among the dead. His risen body was like the first bit of the new creation bursting through into this one. The promise of God made real in our time. As scholar Tom Wright says, this was a little bit of God's new world coming forward from the ultimate future into our surprised and unready present time. The new age has begun. The new creation is upon us. A few years back, Sydney played host to a thing called the Festival of Dangerous Ideas. It was kind of one of those festivals designed for we inner city folk to go and sit there and stroke our chins and, consider kind of speakers from around the world, that sort of stuff, down at the Opera House. And journalist Peter Hitchens, the brother of the famous atheist, Christopher Hitchens, was there speaking. He was then on a panel at the Opera House, and the panel was asked, what dangerous idea would have changed the world for the better if it was implemented? One of the other panelists said that his dangerous idea was population control with mandatory abortions for everyone in this generation. That was his outrageous idea, the kind of quality of answer they were getting. But Peter said, the most dangerous idea in human history and philosophy remains the belief that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and rose from the dead. And that is the most dangerous idea you will ever encounter. It alters the whole of human behavior and all our responsibility. It turns the universe from a meaningless chaos into a designed place in which there is justice, in which there is hope. We don't have to wrest meaning for ourselves, as the existentialist said, from the chaos of existence, as if we could do that. We don't have to deal with death ourselves, as if we could do that. It is done for us. Jesus is alive. That means the new era has dawned. That means God's justice is at hand. That means that hope is real. Why did you come to church today? Now, perhaps your expectations, like the women's, were somewhat too low. Perhaps you only expected to encounter the memory of a good man wrongly executed, to place flowers on his grave, as it were, to hear the example of a good fellow long gone. But the angel's joke, remember the angel's joke, it is part of the joyful reality of Easter. You may have come in despair today, or desperation, with a heaviness of heart and the weight of the world bearing heavy upon you, whatever front you are putting on. No matter, for what you meet at Easter is life, not death. Jesus is not in the tomb. The tomb is redundant. And Jesus' resurrection life is a pointer to the future that you and I are invited to share. His empty tomb can be our empty tomb too. His future can be ours. In our other reading today, the reading from Colossians, Paul says to the Colossian Christians, "You have been raised with Christ." When you heard the gospel preached, when you heard the message that Christ was crucified for our sins and raised for our salvation, when you heard that extraordinary message, the declaration of God's good news, and you believed it, when you clung on to that news, then Christ's resurrection became yours. It was alive in you. You were, as Jesus says, born a second time, born spiritually, born from above. Your old self is gone, and your new self starts now. When they turn to Christ, they receive the power and the hope of his resurrection life. With Jesus Christ, eternity starts today. And so today, this morning, you and I can stare at our mortality fair in the face and yet feel its weight lifted from us. For united to Jesus Christ, even though we die, we rise to new life. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I invite you to say it with me. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.